Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BikeRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Allison Carman, and she is author of The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times. Allison spent many years fighting a powerful addiction. It wasn't drugs, alcohol, or fame. It was an addiction to certainty. If she didn't know what the future would bring, and who does, she felt anxious and afraid. This decades-long struggle followed her through college, marriage, parenthood, and a successful law career. While everything seemed fine from the outside, Allison was in a constant battle that was unwinnable, zapping her energy, attention, and spirit until the day she discovered the power of maybe. You can find out more about Allison and her book by visiting her website, which is AllisonCarman.com, and it's AllisonCarmen.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Allison to the show. Hello, Allison.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know what? I don't think there's any maybe about it. We're going to have a good time today.
Well, there's maybe there, too. I guess we'll see at the end, right?
Goodness. Well, I'm looking forward to our chat today because, you know, I mean, I kind of laugh about it, but it's, you know, this is one topic that really, really affects a lot of people. It causes a lot of stress in people. But, you know, if you wouldn't mind, would you mind sharing with the listeners a little bit? You know, I mentioned that you kind of were addicted to certainty. So if you wouldn't mind, kind of tell us a little bit more about your journey, and kind of how you came to the realization that that was, you know, something that was a real challenge for you.
Yeah. Well, like you said in the introduction to the show, I wasn't addicted to drugs and I wasn't addicted to alcohol, but I was addicted to certainty, and I always needed to know what was going to happen next in my life. And if I didn't know what was going to happen, I projected things were going to be bad or they wouldn't work out in my life. And I think a lot of people are like that fear uncertainty when things, they don't know what's going to happen next, or they see things in life are not going the way they plan, they get afraid, they start to worry. But for me, when I was young, I was able to handle it. I was worried about boys, I was worried about high school, I was worried about college. But because life was so simple, I was living with my parents, it was very manageable. But as I got older, things became more complicated. So I started to write a story of what was going to happen in my life so I could feel better. And I think a lot of us do that because we're so afraid of not knowing. We write stories that if these things happen in our life, we know we'll be okay. So my story was that I'm going to become an attorney. And when I become an attorney, I'm going to get this job at this big law firm. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to marry this great guy. And the balloons are going to come down. And life's going to be great. So I remember my first day of work, I actually did become an attorney. I did get that big job. I was overlooking Central Park West. And everything seemed so – I was so happy that first day. And the second day of work, my office mate came in to my office. And he said, Allison, did you hear they're firing half the first years? And I was a first year. And all of a sudden, my head started to spin. What if I lose my job? How am I going to afford my rent? What are my parents going to think? And that was a new level of anxiety for me, which I don't think I recovered from for a very long time. And the months passed, they didn't fire me. But then I started to work. Were they going to like my memo? Was they going to get a raise? Was there going to be a terrorist attack in New York City? Was my husband going to leave me? And with all this anxiety, I stopped sleeping, and eventually my immune system became very compromised. So I started to run to all these doctors, and I said, please help me. I don't feel good. I have this. I have that. And they took all this blood work, and all the blood work came back perfectly. And they said, Allison, here's this little blue pill. And this little blue pill is going to make you feel better. And, of course, that was for anxiety, but even that made me anxious. And so I decided that I was going to try to make changes in my life, and I changed my diet, and I went for acupuncture, and I did find more balance. But the minute something unexpected happened in my life, I spun out of control again. And then one day I heard this beautiful Taoist story about this farmer. And he had a horse, and the horse ran away. And his neighbor came by and said, "You have the worst luck." And the farmer's like, "Maybe." And the next day the horse came back with five mares. And the neighbor came by and said, "You have the best luck." And the farmer said, "Maybe." And the next day the farmer's son is on the horse, and the son falls off and breaks his leg. And the neighbor comes by and says, "You have the worst luck." And the farmer said, "Maybe." And the next day the army comes to take the son to war, but they can't because his leg is broken. And the neighbor comes by and says, "You have the best luck." And the farmer said, "Maybe." And in the Taoist tradition, the story means things, you know, are neither good or bad. They just change. But for me, when I heard that story, I actually felt a pop in my chest. And for the first time in my life, my entire being was filled with hope and possibility. Because I was always so worried that the horse was going to run away, it never occurred to me that he could come back. And I went home that day, and I was starting a new business. I had left the law, and I was starting a consulting business, and I was worried I wasn't going to get clients, and I was worried I wasn't going to make enough money. And no matter what I thought, whatever negative thought or worry thought I had, I threw maybe against it. And I asked myself, "Are you absolutely certain that you're not going to have enough clients?" And I was like, "Well, maybe I will. Maybe things will change. Maybe they'll get better. Maybe I'll be okay no matter what." And the more I played with this idea, the less worry I had, the less stress I had, and my whole being was filled with hope and possibility. And ever since then, my entire life has changed.
Wow. You know, and I have heard that, you know, that parable before. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, everybody focuses on that, you know, the lesson of good or bad, but not
right.
The maybe part, you know. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, because as you're going through it, I'm like, oh, my God, you know. I mean, it was kind of like staring me right in the face there. But
yeah.
We just kind of missed that point. But and, you know, and there is, you know, really a lot to be said to that. But, you know, one of the things I know, I mean, I know several people who are like you were, you know, as far as addicted to certainty. I mean, they absolutely have to feel like in complete control of situations in their life. I mean, there's no room for maybe. That maybe or uncertainty really scares them. I mean, it truly frightens them.
Right.
Why do you think that? Because there's a good many people I know out there that are like that. So why do you think it is that it's frightening for people?
Well, because I think we're afraid we're not okay. I think there are certain people who have faith. And some people are born that way. Some people cultivate a very strong belief in God. Even if you go back to The Power of Positive Thinking with Norman Vincent Peale, that was God-based. Stay positive and, you know, you have God. So when you don't think that way, when you're not, you know, God-based that way, or you just can't go with the flow, we write stories because we're afraid we're not okay. And so these stories become very real to us. So sometimes it's the story writing that really trips us up, because we'll write a story. I'm going to have this job until I retire. I'm going to have this amount of money in the bank when I'm 50. My child will go to this college, and then everything will work out. So, and these stories don't work out. We start to worry, oh, my God, life's not working out. Now life's not working out. And we forget that maybe it is. And I think intellectually we all know that every end is a beginning and every closed door leads to an open door. But emotionally we can't handle that because, again, we're afraid we're not okay. But uncertainty is there. And the thing that we forget is it's in the uncertainty that our life will change. If you lost your job, the only place you're going to get a new one is in the unknown. And if your child doesn't go to that college you expected, well, maybe everything is still okay. And so, and the future and the unexpected will give the gifts. They'll give the gifts back to us. So if we're able to kind of shift our relationship with that, with this idea of maybe, I think people could shift their relationship with uncertainty. But it's just a fear-based thought because we don't want to feel groundless in our lives.
Yeah, I agree. And it's so funny that you talk about stories. I have a gentleman coming on Wednesday, and his book is, you know, This Life is About Joy. And in his book, he talks about stories, you know, the old, the cold, and the told, you know, stories,
right.
The old stories that we kind of tell ourselves, you know, the cold, the unemotional, and the things that we've been told. And, you know, and that's very true. We kind of, in the absence of knowing what's going to happen, we do create these stories, and so many times they're just not based in reality. I mean, or they're just they're based on old, maybe outdated, and fearful thoughts.
And then we're not present enough to really see what's happening in our lives. And it's sometimes we think we're afraid of uncertainty, but sometimes it's really the disappointment that the stories we wrote are not working out. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
There are two things going on. There are certain people that really just fear not knowing, and there are other people walking around saying, well, my life's not working out because, you know, I lost this client today, or I lost this job, or this person left me, and we were supposed to be together forever. So there's twofold. One is, I didn't expect this was going to happen, and the other piece is the I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so those are the things we're always kind of battling with. And with this idea of maybe we're kind of able to soften the grip that, you know, that these stories have on us, because we recognize maybe things are still working out. And like I said before, the most powerful maybe statement I've ever come across is maybe everything's still okay. Because when you recognize that, it's almost like instead of throwing this fear or worry in this little test tube, you're actually throwing it in like an ocean where there's so much more is possible. And you're opening up to everything that's possible in your life. And I think it's a real game changer.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the whole idea of opening up to possibility, you know, really just, you know, kind of shifts everything. You know, the fact that, you know, there is that possibility of a positive outcome. Now, you mentioned a few moments ago about positive thinking and, you know, Norman Vincent Peale and that kind of thing. So how would you differentiate maybe thinking from positive thinking?
Well, I think everybody wakes up in the morning, most people trying to be positive about their life. And the problem is if you're afraid of uncertainty, it's very hard to hold the positive thought. Because once something happens that you didn't expect, that negative thought's going to come up. Like I have people come to my office all the time. Like, let's say someone's starting a business, and a client will come to me and say, Allison, I'm very excited, I'm very positive, I'm starting this business, and at the end of the month, I'm going to have 20 clients, and I'm going to have $20,000 of income. And at the end of the month, he has two clients and $5,000 worth of income. Now, if he's afraid of the unknown, he's going to start to spin out. He's no longer going to be positive. He's going to be negative, and he's going to be worried. Things aren't working out. But again, he wrote a story of what he wanted his business to look like. But just because he didn't achieve those goals doesn't mean things aren't still okay. So what happens with the battle between, if you're worried about uncertainty, the negative thought's going to come in, my business is not working out, things aren't working out, and you're not going to be able to wake up with that positive thought. But with the idea of maybe, you kind of you see the goal, but you realize there'll be twists and turns. Maybe it's okay I only have two clients. Maybe it's okay I only made $5,000. Maybe I have to change my sales methods. Maybe I have to hire some new employees. Maybe there are other ways for me to do business to achieve different goals next month. So he stays positive, this fellow, because he keeps the goal going. He keeps working on his business, but at the same time, maybe allows him to hold that because it's not linear. There are many ways to get to one place. So I think if you incorporate maybe in your everyday life, those negative thoughts aren't going to own you. And it's the battle that really knocks us out. It's the battle between positive and negative. Things are good, things are bad. But with maybe we can let go of all of that and just stay hopeful and open to everything that could happen in our life.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's good. You know, because there's so much attention given, you know, to the idea of positive thinking and the power of positive thinking. And, you know, I understand and recognize that as, you know, as being a real, you know, kind of real kind of thing, real, you know, that we have. But there are times, you know, when, you know, that reality throws you a little bit of a curveball and you kind of begin to question. You know, it's kind of like, wait a minute.
You're absolutely right. I had a friend who came by the other day, and her son was just diagnosed with leukemia. And she's very into these The Secret, The Power of Attraction. And these are all, you know, these are great, you know, pieces of work that people put out there. But she's looking at her life right now, and she's like, Allison, she goes, my son is sick, and these things make me feel regretful and shameful, like I created this, and I I don't know if I believe in God, and I can't stay positive. And she looks at me and said, the only thing I have right now is maybe, because maybe makes me feel okay, because it doesn't blame me. It doesn't create regret. All it says is, because maybe it doesn't say life doesn't have hardships. All it does is it takes you where you are in the moment and asks you what's possible now. And she says, I can do that. I can look in this situation and say, maybe my son is going to get better. Maybe we need to learn something. Maybe there's a lesson here. Maybe we'll be okay no matter what. She goes, that place makes me feel more open, and I don't have any storylines, and I could just be free in this moment and hopeful about my future. And that's really powerful for her to be in this circumstance where she's questioning everything, but to be able to hold on to this one idea that still allows her to hold her situation with possibility.
Yeah. Well, you know, excuse me, that is really, that is powerful in a way, you know, because when you're confronting, you know, the something like that, you know, with, you know, whether it be a family member or even a diagnosis yourself, you know, of a, mm-hmm. you know, a catastrophic health kind of a challenge. I mean, in that time when that happens, I mean, I've had many a guest on who have, you know, confronted and dealt with cancer or even some, you know, kind of a spiritual or emotional types of challenges. And each time, you know, there is that projection of what a, you know, possible outcome can be. And quite often, it's usually toward the worst case scenario, you know? And,
right.
And you know, the idea of being present and opening up to other possibilities seems to be that it would be very freeing, you know, and would kind of at least eliminate some stress, you know.
Because it's hard to get present, right? How if someone just mm-hmm. said, stop thinking, stop worrying about it. I have people,
right.
If I said that to my clients, they'd leave the office because they don't know how to stop, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But with this idea of maybe, it allows us to stop because we realize we don't know, but within not knowing is hope. And that's the freeing part. That's the liberating part of it. Within not knowing, there's hope. And that means for me that's really a new way of thinking. So
yeah. You know, it is, and it's just I agree with you 100% that it is, and it's funny because I'm going to be here talking to my friends about your book, you know, the ones who find it challenging, and see if they can, you know, incorporate a little bit more maybe into them. But, you know, and I know many of them are going to feel uncomfortable, you know, because, you know, I mean, like you were in that place of wanting certainty or needing certainty, you know, and they're kind of in that. So, you know, to have them move to uncertainty is going to be uncomfortable.
But there's a way to, you know, it's funny. You use certainty actually to get them to maybe, because the question I always ask people when they come to me is I ask, what's their worst thought? Like, for instance, I thought my daughter mm-hmm. had celiac disease a couple of years ago. And I wrote the gift of maybe. It didn't matter what I wrote. The minute the doctor said it could be celiac disease, my head started to spin. Even knowing that people live with this disease, I didn't expect this. My daughter, I was supposed to have a daughter who was totally healthy. Well, you know how the room starts to spin when you something happens in your life that you don't know. So I went home that day, and I knew I had to get a hold of myself. So the first thing I tell people to do and the first thing that I did is I wrote my biggest fear down. And so you could ask your friends, and I asked myself, Allison, what's your biggest fear? And my biggest fear was my daughter has celiac disease, and things are not going to be okay. Things are horrible. And then the next thing I did is I asked myself a question. Are you absolutely certain that thought is true? See, that's the thing that's what's funny about it, because you're asking, you're throwing certainty at somebody. So you would say to your friend, well, are you absolutely certain that this worry that you have is true? And most of the time, you're not certain. So with my daughter's situation, I said, no, I'm not absolutely sure my daughter has celiac disease. And if she does, I'm not sure it's going to be horrible. So what else is there? So I sat down, and I did this for a half hour until I felt a little pop of hope, and I wrote down on my maybe statement, maybe my daughter doesn't have celiac disease, and I had to wait 10 days to get the blood work back. So maybe my daughter doesn't have celiac disease. Maybe she has it and everything's still going to be okay. Maybe she has something else. And I just kept writing all these maybe statements, and after a half hour, I realized I don't really know what's happening. And within not knowing, there's other hopes, there's other possibilities. And I was able to sit with it for 10 days, be in the moment. She ended up not having it, but it was amazing how just knowing there were other possibilities out there liberated me. And I think if your friends are able to do the same kind of exercise, if they're not certain, what else is there? And sometimes you really have to sit there and write the statements out until you say, hey, you know, there's stuff, there's other things that I'm not aware of. Sometimes we don't even know the answers, right? But with maybe, I think, it again, it just softens our grip on things, and we could hold life in a bigger perspective. So I hope your friends are able to embrace it and
well,
give it a try.
Great. No, that is perfect. That's perfect. And you know, that's great for the listeners out there. I mean, that is, you know, one of the things that they can, tools they can use, you know, if they have also people in their lives who, you know, are dealing with it. Plus, you know, by doing that exercise with our friends, it also, I think, strengthens and reinforces the process for us. You know what I mean? And it kind of reinforces the fact that, well, you know, there are many possibilities out there, and, you know, maybe
right.
is a good place to be.
And it's so simple. And who's ever listening to this program right now, the power of it is when you have the experience. You could read the book, you could listen to me speak and be like, oh, okay, that's an interesting idea, or that's a silly idea. But when you're out in the world and all of a sudden you have that one thought that gets you stuck, or that one thought that keeps you up all night, the minute you hit that point where you know there's maybe, you feel a release within yourself, and you feel so much lighter and so much more free. And the minute you hit that point of freedom, your mind opens up. And life changes. So I hope people allow themselves at least to have the experience, because that's when you really feel the power of it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Well, you know, one of the things that you talk about in your book is that the mindset of maybe can create opportunities. And I personally am very focused and kind of constantly talk to people about opportunities and taking, you know, kind of following through and not having cases of missed opportunities. So would a mindset of maybe create opportunity?
Well, that's a great question. Originally, if you would have asked me that question when I first found maybe, I would have said to you, well, it's a tool that helps me reduce my stress and worry, because I just
mm-hmm.
say maybe. And then over time, I realized that there's something more to it. There, first of all, when you're in maybe, everything that happens to you is not going to knock you down. Like, for instance, for me, my book was, I'm sure you hear this from many authors, it took me 5 years to publish, for a big publisher to buy my book. I got an agent, and I was rejected over and over and over again. And the reason I was rejected is people would say, oh, we love this idea of maybe, but Allison, we don't know who she is. She's a real nobody. I got to really be comfortable being nobody. And was it Ram Dass says, you're not somebody until you be comfortable being nobody? I just kept getting rejected. And if I had looked at that and said, okay, this is not working out, I should try something else, then I would have really shut down on this passion and this idea I wanted to spread, you know, to the world. And instead, I constantly said maybe. And what happened to me is that I ended up saying, well, what can I do next? And someone said to me, Allison, you should become a blogger. I would have never become a blogger. It was something I thought 20-year-olds did, you know, when they weren't in college
mm-hmm.
and they wrote about their day. But I had this book, and I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a try. It's been the best experience of my life, because I was able to share my work with people from all over the world. I now write for Psychology Today, for Huffington Post. My whole world expanded because the publisher said no. If they said yes, I wouldn't be in the situation I am today. And actually, blogging I find to be much more expansive even than my book. And then I put stuff out again, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm now a blogger, and all these people like me. And I set my book out again, and they're like, nope, sorry, rejection. But again, I said maybe. I said maybe there's something else out there. Maybe I'm not seeing something. Maybe the time is not right. I mean, that's a beautiful thing too, because you could sit patience knowing, okay, it's not the moment. And what after a while, I said, you know, I'm tired of waiting, and I self-published my first book. And eventually I gave it away for free, and then 30,000 people downloaded my book. Within 3 days, I was on the Amazon bestseller list, And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I have like more than one publisher offering me a deal. And that's life. But I stayed open because I stayed in maybe. I didn't judge it. See, what happens is that we're always judging it. Well, this should have happened. I sent it. My agent sent it out, and I should have got the book deal. Well, obviously, that's not what should have happened because it didn't. And within the realm of maybe, I stayed open. And I think that's where you find more opportunities because your mindset is we're willing to continuously engage and keep trying for the things that we want in life. But the other thing that happens is that I think when we're in this idea of maybe, we're thinking less. And when we're thinking less, I think we're aligning more with the universe. I think there's something also energetic about staying in this open space of maybe. And I laugh sometimes because clients always call me with, I call miracle stories, where they're like, Allison, you would not believe what just happened. I decided to do this maybe exercise in the morning, and within 3 days, something amazing happens for them that they've been fighting to happen in their life, you know, for months before. So there's also something on an energetic level. I never try to go too far into that because people have to have their own experience. But I think there's opportunities, too, because when you're more open and you're more aligned, you know, more things happen. I'm sure you understand that.
Yes, I do. Well, you know, we're just about halfway through the show. I want to invite people, if they would like to call in with any questions for you, they can call in at 619-789-4359. For those of you who are listening live in the chat room, if you'd like for me to pose a question to Allison, feel free to type it in there. And then, Allison, we're going to take just a quick two-minute break. And then when we return, speaking of stories, I would love for you, if you wouldn't mind sharing, you know, a couple of the maybe stories that, you know, either that you've heard from people who have purchased the book or maybe even those that you have in the book, okay?
Okay, thank you. I'd love to.
Okay, great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back in just under 2 minutes.
Hi, it's Maya at Mind Over Matter in Nyack, New York. I'd just like to take a moment to share with you how amazing I found Robert Sharpe's book, Joy Potential. It kind of found me at a time when I was feeling out of sorts and overwhelmed and I guess derailed by the pressures of my career and my large family and caregiving and ailing husband. I just really felt like my spark was dimming. It was a perfect time for me to pick up Joy Potential because as I just in the first few pages began to read, I found that my frame of mind wasn't so different from others dealing with challenges and the trials and tribulations of life. I guess my first feeling was that I wasn't alone, and with that I began to open more to receive the message that Robert gave of light and love and positive thinking. That's what Joy Potential is all about. His thoughts are beautifully written, and everyone, whether you're going through your own personal challenges, should read it. His message was certainly well received from me, and I'm thankful for his insight and his caring and really helping me to get back on track. I think everyone should put Joy Potential on the top of their reading list. Love and light. Thank you.
For more information or to purchase your copy of Joy Potential, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, thank you to Maya Nash for that testimonial. I greatly appreciate that. That book, as well as my calendar and other book, are available at my website, www.biteradio.me. Okay, returning to today's show, again, my very special guest today is Allison Carman, and she is author of The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times. Again, you can find out more about Allison, and you can also look at her videos and other archived aspects of her blog by visiting her website, which is AllisonCarman.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, with that, we're back, Allison.
Oh, happy to be back.
Okay, great. Okay, well, you know, I would love to hear a story or two. You know, of maybe you know, and just exactly kind of how it impacted someone's life.
Well, you know, I find the most interesting part of maybe is that how it allows us to stay present. And we discussed that a little bit before the break. And in my book, there's a story, and it's really not about maybe as much as it's about what happens when we don't live in maybe. And it's not really a story about the client. It's a story my dad told me when I was young, and it was about his friend Nathan, who was in the building business. He was in the steel business. And it was a long time ago. It was about 30 years ago, so it was before cell phones and before email. So if you called somebody, you know, whether you left a message on the answering machine or if, you know, people were out of the office, you had to wait till Monday if it was on Friday. So sure enough, Nathan got a call on Friday from a fellow he was building a building for. And the fellow, this man, left a message and said, "Nathan, it's very important that you call me back as soon as possible." So when Nathan called the man back at his office, he had gone for the weekend, and Nathan had no way of getting a hold of him because, again, there were no cell phones back then.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Nathan started to project what this fellow was talking about. And he thought to himself, well, there was rain on the job. Maybe someone got killed on the job. Maybe something happened. Maybe a beam fell. Maybe the guy is going bankrupt. And he didn't sleep that night. And the next day, it was Saturday, and it was his son's birthday party. And he couldn't stay at his son's birthday party because he couldn't stand not knowing why the guy wanted to speak to him. So he drove out. Nathan lived in New York. He drove out to New Jersey where the job site was. And he got there, and the sun was shining, and the building, the beams looked perfect, and there was nothing happening. So not even that made Nathan feel better. So he went home and thought, it must be bankruptcy. The guy must be filing bankruptcy. Again, he didn't sleep. And finally, Monday morning, Nathan ran to the office, and the fellow called him, and he said, "Nathan," he's like, "let's meet for lunch today. I have another job for you." So Nathan, like, he just spent his whole weekend projecting it was going to be bad, and he didn't have one tool to stop that. And I think a lot of us live that way. The unknown, like we talked about, the unknown makes us feel that way. And the worst part of it is that we leave the present. And so we're always selling today for tomorrow, and we're not really living. Because we make it like tomorrow's going to be better or things are going to work out, but really today is where life is happening. And so with this idea of maybe, I think it allows us to let go of all these worries and thoughts because we realize that maybe things aren't going to be as bad as we're projecting. Maybe everything's okay. Maybe it'll get better. And out of all the gifts as maybe has ever given me, it's this ability to be present. And I think, you know, I work with a lot of parents, I work with a lot of people who have businesses, and you would think that the business owner would come to me and say, "Allison, maybe has really helped me because I have so much more money." No. They never say that. They say, even though they are more successful, it's the fact that they're able to worry less and enjoy their life more. And usually the first thing they say to me is, "I'm able to go home after work and really be with my kids and really be with my wife and really go play golf when I have some time off." So these people who are obsessed with their business and obsessed with their money ending up finding a new joy in their life, because the reason why they weren't happy to begin with was because they couldn't stand all the worry.
Yeah. Excuse me. Well, you know, I wondered about business, you know, because it seems that, you know, quite often in the business world, you know, people don't deal well with uncertainty. I mean, like if you're to present a plan or, you know, like a business plan or, you know, you're going to kind of lay out a strategy, you know, people want, it seems, you know, people would want to hear certainty. You know, when it comes to that. So, I was wondering, you know, in the business environment, mm-hmm. How do you balance, you know, the mindset, you know, even though it may be, you know, could use a little bit of shift in perception. How do you shift the mindset, you know, with, you know, presenting maybe, you know,
that's a great question because. Yeah, I love goals. I love intentions. I mean, you have to have some direction in life, I think. I mean, I always say without hope and without some direction, I'm not sure I would get out of bed in the morning. But what happens is that, like we talked about before, the goal becomes the story as if we know how it's going to happen. And that's where businesses get stuck, and that's where people get tripped up. It's not the goal. It's not the hope. It's the fact of how everything happens. And if we're able to hold it more loosely, we could hold that goal. I want to start a business. I want to become an actress. I want to be a writer. Well, okay, but just like with me with my book, we don't know how it's going to happen. So you could hold that goal. It's just with maybe you realize that there's going to be twists and turns. And when something, the unexpected happens, when you get a different opportunity than you expected, when you get a rejection, you could say, all right, if you can look at all of it in the realm of maybe, you're going to have a different reaction to it. We're always overreacting to everything that happens in our lives. So maybe allows us to push forward, but with more openness. And more people achieve their goals more often.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, that's good. A good way to apply that. Now, one of the things that I know that, you know, is kind of affects a lot of people, you know, is the idea of regret. You know, I wished I had, and, you know, with that, you know, because that can also be debilitating sometimes too.
Right.
How would the idea of maybe deal with that? Because regret is kind of like a feeling of not making the right decision or not taking an action when you may thought of. So how does that idea of a perceived past mistake, so to speak, work with the present idea of maybe?
Okay. Well, what's interesting is that when I found maybe, at first it was all about my future projections. It allowed me to stop projecting into the future, projecting things were going to be bad. I had no idea the effect that it would have on the idea of regret. Because people come into my office a lot, and they'll say to me, you know, I mean, they're looking at their life. They're looking at their life choices because they're stressed about their business. They're stressed about their home life. And they'll say to me, you know, if I went into business with Joe, because look how he's successful. He asked me to go into business with him. I said no, and I made the biggest mistake of my life, and look where I am now. Or if I would have not married my wife. And you know, all the stories people tell. But the most interesting thing about it is the stories that they didn't choose are always pristine. They had no twists and turns. If I would have made this choice, my life would be beautiful right now. As if they wouldn't have had any problems. And we all know, no matter what business you go into, no matter what relationship you choose, there's bumps. But regret has no bumps, and that's why it holds us so tightly, because we have no idea what really would have happened. And that's the thing. You don't know. I call it a reverse maybe. Maybe it wouldn't have been better. Maybe if you would have gone into business with Joe, you would have fought. Maybe you would have left the office one day, got hit by a car. Maybe if you married Mary, she would have cheated on you. I mean, we really don't have any idea. And so when we are able to look at it, well, maybe it wouldn't have been better, it kind of loosens the hold a little bit, and you could start looking at life differently. And it's interesting. I don't mean to keep talking about family members, but my father's 82 right now. And we were sitting recently, and he was telling me that he regretted the decision that he made with his business. His father was an engineer and really forced him to go into the family business. And my dad always wanted to go into the entertainment industry. And he said, if I would have went into the entertainment industry, my whole life would have been different. I would have been so successful, blah, 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 blah. You know, the story went on. And I actually, at first, he really caught me in it. I was feeling so bad. I was like, oh, this is so sad that my dad didn't have an opportunity to do this. But as I sat there, I realized, wait a second. He's making it like he knows what would have been. Like every script would have been successful, Dad. You know, every pilot would have been successful, every twist and turn. He really has no idea what his life would have been like had he chose that. And I looked at him and I was like, Dad, I'm like, that's a reverse maybe. I mean, you've had a really good life. You have a great marriage. You have three kids. You had a successful business. And we talked about his life, and we talked about how he really didn't know what his life would have looked like. And he looked at me and I said, Dad, you know, seems like everything's okay. And then we laughed and he said, oh, maybe you're right. But what was most interesting about this conversation is that when we were done with it, after we really looked at it, he went home and you know what he did? He started to write a screenplay. And he started to screen movies for my friend who has a documentary company. And all of a sudden, at the age of 82, just letting go of that regret, it opened him up because he was walking around like, I missed the chance, I missed the opportunity. And the minute he let that go, at the age of 82, he's doing it again. So for me, it was like so amazing. It's like you let go of the pain, but you also open up. Maybe you could still do it. So my dad really stands for that. It's really quite amazing.
That's great. That's a great story. I mean, because, you know, you're quite right with the idea of regret that we tend to take a kind of a Pollyanna view of what right. we think may have happened, you know, rather than the reality. If we chose that path, every path has its twists and turns and challenges too. And
but the story of regret never has it, right? I mean, did you ever hear anyone tell the story of regret with twists and turns? No.
Uh huh. Well, I am never going to hear someone talk to me about regret without reframing it for them. Or providing an opportunity for them to maybe reframe it for themselves. So,
right. And if you spill, you'll find that people have these little hidden stories about regret. Like I did some work with a client about regret. It was about a business story, and she went home and she shared this story with her stepmother, and it turns out her stepmother's mother was dying. She left the room. To her mother wanted water or something, and she left the room, and her mother died when she left the room. Mm-hmm. And she always had such regret that she left the room. And after she understood the idea of maybe, she was able to release it, because my friend turned around to her stepmother and said, "How do you know? Maybe you weren't supposed to be in the room. Maybe your mother wanted you to leave. Maybe it wouldn't have made a difference." And it sounds so simple, right? It sounds like so insignificant. But for this woman, she was so caught in the story that she left her mother that it was bad. And this idea of maybe just it healed her. I mean, it sounds like so simple, but she never thought that there was anything other than she shouldn't have left the room. And maybe it didn't matter, or maybe her mom needed her to leave the room to pass. And it just kind of opened her up, and it healed it. So it's really interesting, this whole idea of maybe and regret. It's just very healing to people. And I think most people walk around with these ideas of regret, and I think it creates more fear. And like my dad, I think it holds us back.
Yeah, I agree. And interestingly, I had, like your friend, I had the very same experience. My father was in the process of dying. I was there day and night for hours, you know, on end. He decided to pass on when I went out to dinner, you know, it was like, for a slight moment, there was that tinge like, oh man, you know, I should have been there. You know, why wasn't I there at that time? But, you know, I quickly recognized, you know, knowing him, it was, first of all, right. I think it was like a very private thing for him. I think, you know, it was one of those things that he just kind of wanted to do it in his own way. And also recognizing, I think he was just very intuitive as far as me recognizing that he would prefer that I didn't witness or, you know, that whole actual process. For me, you know, it was better for me that I not be there. And right. you know, it took a little time, but right. I did kind of go through that, you know, because I think we're socialized, you know, in a way that, you know, we feel that there's a lot of the shoulds, you know, what we should do and, right. you know, versus what actually happens and getting that different perspective.
Maybe we're exactly where we need to be. And that's another, it ends the battle. That's what's so magical about maybe. Maybe we're exactly where we need to be. If we're not battling ourselves and battling everything that's happening, life is easier.
We're in constant battle. I mean, it's tiring to battle everything, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think that's where we lose all our energy, and that's where the negativity is always with us, because we're battling. And it's impossible, because we can't control everything. We can't even control our thoughts most of the time. So maybe it's just a really beautiful place where I think the battle ends and there's a new beginning.
That's great. Now, in your book, you have exercises, correct, for various aspects. And one of them deals with reducing worry and anxiety.
Right, and I think that's the first exercise. That's the one I spoke about earlier, and I'd be more than happy to, because I was going back and forth because I was telling a story. But what you do is, and I think out of all the exercises, this is the most powerful one, is you put your biggest fear down on paper.
Okay.
And you write it as many ways as you need to write it. And then you ask yourself, am I absolutely certain this thought is true? And most of the time, the answer is going to be no. And then you write your maybe statements. And sometimes it's easy as maybe everything that's happening is good. Maybe everything will get better. maybe I'll be okay no matter what. Maybe this thought's not true. And then you start to get a little deeper into the scenario of whatever you're fearing. So you put your facts into those maybe statements. And the more you stay with it, and even if, like I said, you have to stay with it a half hour, you write that down, and eventually your mind will, a switch will just go off, and all of a sudden you'll realize that things are not only one way, and there could be something else out there. And even just that little opening, that little bit of hope changes everything, because people just become hopeless, game over, things aren't going to change. You give somebody a little hope, a little light, I always find that they open up more and it changes everything for them, and it allows them to continue on the next day and the day after that, and gives them a platform to stand on.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about how maybe can affect our relationships, you know, and maybe improve them, maybe improve. See, from now on, I'm never look at the word. I'm never going to look at the word maybe the same way again. So, which is a good thing, but
that's a good thing.
I know it's one of those, you know,
maybe
one of the joys.
Thing.
Yeah, that's one of the joys of doing a show like this, is that I really learn a lot and shift a lot. But with regard to the relationships, now, how about with children? You know, I just kind of laughed, because when I was thinking about children and, you know, and maybe growing up, you know, if ever I wanted something to happen or to do something, my mother would always say, well, maybe. And I always knew that I was like a no. But it was like a maybe.
Well, she didn't want to get caught in the yes and the no paradigm.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of it's funny. There's a lot of back and forth with moms and dads and kids. But, you know, for me, parenting with maybe, there are two sides of it. One is parenting with maybe, and the other one is teaching your children to live in maybe. And
okay.
I again, maybe always surprises me, but this idea has really been embraced by the special needs community, as well as people that are dealing with difficult times with their kids, because parenting is difficult because we want our kids to be okay. And the world is very large, and, you know, some people think there are scary things out there. You know, everyone looks at the world differently. But we worry if our child injures themselves, if our child doesn't get into the right college. And with this idea of maybe everything is still okay, it allows us to hold every event. So your child came home late, they broke their curfew, you could go bonkers over it, or you could hold it in a softer place where you recognize, well, okay, they're not listening to me. Okay, they didn't get an A. Okay, they didn't get into Brown. Okay, well, maybe everything's still okay. So it softens our own fear, because as parents, we just want to know our kids are okay, and we worry, and that's why we get crazy. But when you embrace this idea of maybe, you hold it softer, because you realize, okay, these things aren't happening, but it doesn't mean that things aren't going to get better, and it doesn't mean my child's not going to find their way. And especially in the special needs community, they're faced with a lot of difficult moments, and this idea of maybe gives them hope, you know, for healing, for a triumph, or even just to be able to be present, to know, okay, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Maybe they'll find a cure. Maybe things will change, but I still have now. So I could be now, because I know, or maybe I just have this moment. That's also another beautiful one. Maybe I just have this moment and I don't want to let that go. So that's a really magical place to allow parents to lessen the fear and worry that things are not okay. And for a child, I mean, even my children, I mean, you give them maybe. I mean, this is where they start closing down. The minute they don't make their first school play. My daughter did not make her first school play. And she came home and said, I hate acting. I'm never going to do it again. Now, if I would have let that stand the way it was, she would have never got back on stage. And that people don't even realize a lot of things that they like, they don't even realize they like it, because they shut down in childhood because of rejection. So when you teach a child maybe, I was like, well, my daughter's name is Morgan. Well, Morgan, you know, maybe you need to take some singing lessons. Maybe you need to take acting lessons. Maybe you were meant to do something else, and maybe you should give it another try. And it's funny, this past weekend, she had a starring role in Romeo and Juliet in her high school play. So when she was in sixth grade and she didn't make the play, had I let it sit and I didn't give her this idea of maybe, she probably would have turned off to it. So to give a child maybe, it gives them the courage to realize, okay, it didn't work out this time, but maybe it will next time. And it's a beautiful way, because children don't shut down during rejection. They don't shut down when they don't do well in math. They realize that life's a process. And if I do, and if you don't do well in math, it doesn't mean you're not going to be successful. Maybe you don't need to do well in math. I mean, it's just this constant opening for parents and kids. And out of all the areas of maybe, I find that the biggest response that I've had is actually in parenting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because that's such a challenge, you know, in today's environment, you know, with not only, I mean, even if a kid doesn't have, you know, a challenge, you know, or special needs kind of thing. I mean, just, you know, the whole socialization the peer, you know, the peer pressure, you know, is just in itself quite a challenge. So, you know, it's, you know, and when you were talking about the special needs, I was just thinking how, and I understand, you know, that it's, you know, wonderful to be able to open up to maybe, you know, but you kind of briefly mentioned hope in there. So how do you kind of balance, you know, the idea of maybe and not kind of, you know, overdo it in the hope area, or can you overdo it in the hope area?
Well, I understand what you're saying, because, you know, we mm-hmm. we have to accept where we stand in life.
Yeah, yeah.
We must accept that this is where we are in this moment, and we have to accept it. And what, again, maybe doesn't say there aren't hardships, but what it says is what's possible. What's possible? It doesn't say a child who can't walk is going to walk. It doesn't say that, but what it says is what's possible, and that's the biggest part of it, is that when we have this hardship with children or with anything that we're facing, we're here on this earth. For some reason, we're still alive, so it allows us to squeeze out what's ever left in life. You know, it's like, what's left in that lemon? You know, to squeeze out the last piece of juice. So no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you're facing, you're still here, what's left, what's possible. So it is a hopeful thing, but it's also allowing you to get the most out of whatever you have left to experience. I remember there was a man who had lost his wife, and he read my book, and he came up to me and said, "Allison, I hated your book." And I said, "Why?" And he was in the grieving process now.
Right.
So you think about emotions is that you have to allow people to feel emotions. And he was grieving. And he looked at me and said, "Allison, my life maybe it's going to get better. It's never going to get better. My wife died." And we talk more, you know, during the years about the idea. And 2 years later, he has a girlfriend now. And it doesn't say, maybe doesn't say he's happier with his girlfriend than he was happier with his wife. I mean, he and his wife had a good relationship, but it allowed him at some point when he was done feeling the grief, when he was done feeling the sadness, to say, "Hey, I'm here. What's possible?" And what was possible is that he was able to have another relationship. So it's not what's better, what's worse. It's what's possible in this moment, what's left. And for him, you know, he found a relationship. And so that's what it's about. And I think that's the most important aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You know, and just opening up the possibility, because, you know, quite often we, you know, just the whole process of projecting, you know, what we think may happen, or projecting backwards, you know, looking at regret, it's all kind of really limiting, you know, in the sense of, you know, what is possible. And, you know, and I think, you know, that whole idea of maybe, and just the fact of opening up to possibilities, and like you say, I guess, dealing with the reality of our situation, you know, then that's in itself has to be freeing. So, you know, you mentioned just a little bit earlier about, you know, the world, and you know, and right now, I mean, everything, if you look around you, I mean, the world's in chaos. I mean, I shouldn't say that. There are good points, you know, it depends on where you look. But we're confronted quite often with the perception that everything is going to hell in a handbasket. How, you know, when it comes to not necessarily even global kinds of perspective, but even maybe community, in the community aspect, something a little bit, you know, closer to home. You know, how do you tell your clients, you know, to apply the mindset of maybe to some of the struggles?
Well, it was interesting, you know, I live in New York City, And when the doctor came back from Africa and he rode the subway and he went bowling, everybody went mad here. They went mad. Mm-hmm. And there were people who stopped riding the subway. There were people who didn't let their children go to school because they were afraid. They were afraid that this fellow came to the United States and everybody was going to get Ebola. And, you know, we have to find a better balance, I think. And I understand, listen, there's Ebola in the world, and it's something that there's no known cure for, and we have to be smart about it. But at the same time, we always assume the worst is going to happen. This fellow is in New York City, and where everyone's going to get sick. And it's an overreaction. So for me, when I saw, you know, that he was in New York City, and I saw that, you know, he's admitted to the hospital, I was able to take a step back, because I went right into this mindset of maybe. I wasn't going to not be smart about it, but at the same time, I was like, Allison, I was like, maybe I need to take a step back, and maybe the situation is not exactly as it looks in the moment. Maybe it's not going to spread. And so what do I really need to do in the moment? So what it allowed me to do is not think just the worst, but to take a step back and say, okay, what's really happening here? And I it's like almost like it allowed me to more wait and see because I was in maybe.
Okay.
And also, maybe the world's not going to hell. And that's another thing, too. Like, you know, I always say that to myself when I'm watching the news because I see these things, but there's so many good things happening, too. And for some reason, we let those couple of bad things overtake us. And without this release of maybe, I don't think I could always flip the switch because then I'm going to be, well, that's good and that's bad and that's bad. Well, maybe everything is okay and maybe things will change. I mean, there's been a lot of events in history where it looks like the most horrendous thing is happening and it turns around. And without hope, where are we all going to go? So for me, that's what I always tell people. We don't know. Just like we don't know what's going to happen next, but within that, there's a lot of hope that good things can happen too. The unexpected often provides a lot of happy things, a lot of joyful things. So that's what I sell people. I sell hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's good, and you're right. You know, and quite often, you know, good things or changes or, you know, raising consciousness or compassion do result from, you know, some really negative or challenging kinds of aspects of life. So, I mean, that does. So, I guess, you know, applying that, well, maybe there will be something good come out of this, you know.
Right.
You know, maybe
well, we have beautiful marches in the streets in Manhattan on Saturday. It was beautiful. I mean, there were people marching. I mean, I actually went to my daughter's play in the evening, and there were people. I lived downtown where, you know, near Union Square. And it was beautiful. People were marching in peace, all different types of people. And to me, I was like, it's a very unfortunate, you know, all these things, the events that led up to it are very unfortunate, but what a beautiful thing that all these people could come together and march in peace. And I think that's a good thing, and maybe things will change from that. Sometimes,
yeah,
you know, unfortunate events happen, and then good things come out of that, too.
Absolutely. You know, this is really – I knew this was going to be a good conversation. There was no maybe about it, so and it really has been. And so, you know, we have only a couple minutes left, so I guess in the couple of minutes, would you mind just, you know, sharing what is it that you hope that the reader will take away, you know, from reading The Gift of Maybe?
I hope it'll alleviate their daily suffering. I hope that they'll be able to not feel stuck in their lives when things don't go exactly as they planned and recognize, well, maybe everything is still okay, and hold their life in a larger perspective and know that things are possible and their dreams are possible. They just have to be a little easier about how everything happens. And I really think that it makes a huge difference for people with families and people with businesses and for everyday living. And that's my hope. And that's why I wrote the book, just to help people, because it helped me. It really changed my life, not to need to know all the time, not to write stories, and realize that my life has maybe. Every day has maybe. And it's exciting to know that.
Yeah, that is a good thing. Well, Allison, thank you very much for your time today. Like I said, I really enjoyed our chat, and I'll be sure to put your book on my recommended reading list on my website, because I think it's a great, great piece of work.
Oh, Robert, thank you so much for having me. This was just a wonderful hour.
Great. Thank you very much. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Allison Carman, and she is author of The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times. And again, you can find out more about Allison and her book by visiting her website, which is AllisonCarman.com. And again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.